Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and this has been a blessed day, another beautiful and awesome day in the Lord for us to worship Him, for us to glorify Him, and for us to experience Him in the newness of life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord and welcome to Mission from the Heart Radio. I thank you for being such a faithful listener to this broadcast, but most of all, I pray that you remain and retain your faithfulness to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this brings us to our broadcast today, and we are going to look through the scriptures. As you know, I love to let scripture teach in light of scripture, and I want to walk through the pages of the Bible as we look at our topic for today. And our topic for today is chronic doubters, and I wanted to address this particular area for or to the believers who may doubt their salvation. And, of course, the lesson is called Chronic Doubters. And before I bring the topic or the lesson today, I want our sister in Christ, Shirley, to just say a heartfelt prayer for the broadcast and for those who are listening today. So, Shirley, if you could go ahead and just saturate our hearts with prayer so that we can hear from the Holy Spirit and that we can know that we know that we know. So, Shirley, if you could do that for us. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again, Father God, for allowing us to see another day. Thank you, Lord God, that we have open hearts to receive everything that is receptive about you, Father God. Thank you, Father, for allowing this us an opportunity to be with you one more time again, Father, to sit and listen to your word, Father, and keep it in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit that is within us, that gives us knowledge and wisdom, Father God. Have your way on the internet today, Father God, and do as you please, Father God, on the internet and to the host, Father God. Use them as your vessel, Father God, as she teaches on this lesson today, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sister, for praying for this ministry, praying for those who are listening today. Scriptures tell us that he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to just reveal the beauty of God's word in the Bible. So as we walk through these scriptures, I hope and pray that you come ready. Come ready to receive the richness of his word. Come ready to receive the delicacies of his love. And come ready to receive and experience him, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we move through the pages that breathe on our hearts today, that breathe and give us life. And we know that to be the regeneration of our newness. And we are born again as we believe by faith and receive the grace that God has placed upon us as new believers in Christ Jesus. So let's look at the scriptures. And as we look at the scriptures, have your Bibles ready or your tablet and your paper and pencil ready to take some notes, and especially if you don't have time to flip through the pages of the Bible and you just want to come as a note taker, then let's take notes so that we can go back and reread the verses and the scriptures in the verses that we would be enjoyed and that we would be excited of what the Lord God is showing us in this lesson today concerning chronic doubters. So there are those who've had questions, and it might have been you. I know I've questioned myself sometimes or questioned my salvation at times when I was young in the Lord, I guess you could say. And I just want us to stop and think on what the Bible teaches about salvation. Now, keep in mind that doubters have tendencies, but I want to focus on a particular area of doubt, and that's concerning salvation. So, of course, we know the Bible teaches about salvation and who salvation is. Now, listen to what it says in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. God's assurance, we know, is his word, and it is a solid promise and a solid foundation that believers can stand on. We can take that to the bank. So through faith, saved by God's awesome grace, reminds you that you are sealed supernaturally by the work of the Holy Spirit who indwells in every believer. So as we move through the passages today, and we're going to move quickly and swiftly, always know that you know that you know, and move from chronic doubter to comfort deliverer. Always remember that. Move from any doubt to comfort deliverer. And that's a capital, C-O-M-F-O-R-T. And he is our deliverer. So let's look at Thomas. Now, I thought this was a fitting area in Scripture concerning a disciple who was with Jesus throughout his ministry. And I want us to look at Thomas. And we've known in the past, or we've heard maybe in Sunday school or even in a Bible teaching, that we know Thomas as being Doubting Thomas. And for those who may not have known, but that famous story of the disciple Thomas, his name literally means doubter. And look at what it says in John chapter 20, and let's go to verse 24 through 29, and let's see how it reads. So that's John 20, verses 24 through 29. And it reads, now Thomas, one of the disciples, I'm going to read this, I'm sorry I didn't announce, but I'm going to read this in the New King James translation. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, Thomas is speaking, so he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Days, Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me and have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, I thought that this would be a fitting intro to this lesson, Chronic Doubter. And I could just imagine Christians who suffer with doubt at one point in time or another. And the example of doubting Thomas provides both instruction and encouragement. And we know that Thomas would not believe that Jesus had rose from the dead, rose from that grave. He would not believe until he saw. And how does this line up with a chronic doubter, talking about a brother or sister in Christ who may be doubting their salvation? Well, I want to keep this very simple. I don't want to teach over anyone's head. I want to keep it real, and I want to keep it simplistic. But I can just imagine how Jesus explained to Thomas in saying in that last verse. He said in verse 29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, think about this, brothers and sisters in Christ. When we doubt something or someone, and we do not believe something or someone, then there's times in our mindset that we say we have to see it to believe it. And Thomas is an example of that concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you are questioning your salvation, which is doubt, Thomas doubted that Jesus rose from the dead. And then he said to his brothers in Christ, when I put my finger or my hand on his nail-scarred hands, when I gar or the pierce in his side, is when I will believe. But does our salvation take a tangible event for us to believe that we are saved? Does it take something to be revealed to you to believe that you are saved? Remember what the scriptures teach us. It teaches us to believe by faith. And listen to what it says in Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10, verse 9. And a lot of us are familiar with the Romans road. But I just want to solidify or bring a blessed assurance that we do not have to doubt concerning our salvation. We do not have to see to believe. Jesus said in verse 29, blessed are those, he's talking about you and me, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, we know as a brother and sister in Christ what the scriptures teach us as far as receiving salvation. We do not have to do anything other than believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, and believe in our heart that Jesus died and he rose. He died on that cross, his blood shed for our sins, and he rose from the grave and he covered our sins. And we have been redeemed and saved by God's awesome grace because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, this is nothing new, but it should be something that we stand on. It's rock solid. It is a solid promise. It is the foundation of our faith, what Jesus did on the cross. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. You are a child of the Most High God. And I just want to give three simple principles of how we can move from chronic doubter to comfort deliverer. Now, if you would make note of these particular points, very simple, nothing very theology or anything of that nature, because I just believe the Bible is our basic instructions before leaving earth. I just believe that. And it's our rock-solid promise, our foundation that we can use to defend our faith. But you can't walk around doubting your salvation. And you believe by faith that Jesus is our Savior, that he did on the cross what most wouldn't do. And scripture in that one verse that we read in John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said it after he came from the cross, came down off the cross, he rose from the dead, and he went to the upper room with the disciples where they were told to be. And he told doubting Thomas, do not doubt. But because you had to see the nail scars on my hand and the pierce in my side, I love you. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That is you and that is me. So we don't walk around doubting our salvation. We stand firm on what Scripture teaches us. So the first principle is, or my first point is, if you are questioning your salvation, point one is take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the point. Point one, take it to the feet of Jesus in prayer. This is nothing hard, although it may be hard for some, to establish a prayer life that is doable, that is comfortable of us or you praying and communicating to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prayer is the vehicle to our God, Jehovah God, prayer, not anything that we have to do other as far as running or saying some sort of a ritualistic procedure. It's very simple. We pray. Just as I'm communicating to you concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, just as you talk to your mother, your father, your children in a tender-hearted way, we come boldly to the throne of grace in humility and with an humble heart. We make our petitions known unto him. So for the doubters who may be questioning their salvation, take it to the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take it to the Lord in prayer and talk to him concerning your doubting. Am I saved? Can I believe that I really am saved? How do I know that I am saved? If I were to die today, would I go to heaven? What solidifies that? Why am I having so many doubts concerning my salvation? Why am I afraid? Some people may have asked you these questions, brothers and sisters, or you may have even thought these questions at one point in time of your life. And this might be a normal thought as we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we are on milk in our journey, in our walk with Jesus Christ. But the point is that we take it to the Lord in prayer, making our petitions known or our questions known unto him. In reverence to him, in all humility and humbleness, with a sincere heart, a thankful heart, we pray about it. And we take it to him in prayer. Now, if you need to understand prayer, Scripture is full of prayer. We read prayer concerning Jesus when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed to our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray to him. Remember the story in Scripture where Jesus was to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus. And he stayed away for 4 days. And Mary and Martha were in tears because their brother Lazarus had died, and they so wanted Jesus to come and heal him from the dead. But the purpose and principle and the purpose of that particular miracle was greater than Mary and Martha could even see or even imagine. And you know the story. And if you don't know it, sift through the pages of this roadmap called the Bible and allow it to breathe on your heart, that it would show you how Jesus prayed to the Father before he announced Lazarus to come forth. He prayed to the Father so that they who stand by watching, wanting to see in order to believe the work, the miracle, the power of God make manifest through Lazarus' body. Jesus prayed, asking of God. And before he said, Lazarus, come forth, he asked of God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the cross, he prayed intensely. Even in the Old Testament, the prophets, they prayed when they were being used by God. Prayer is the vehicle. It is the vehicle to make our petitions known unto God. Prayer is powerful. Prayer brings resolution. Prayer brings change. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. For you are, for thine is the glory, the power, forever. Prayer is awesome. Prayer is valuable. Prayer is a gift. Prayer is a need in every believer's life. Where there is struggle, pray. Where there is doubt, pray. Where there is healing, pray. Where there is confusion, pray. Uncertainty, pray. Where there's a need, pray. Lack, pray. Joy, pray. Hurt, pain, pray. Excitement, pray. That is what he gave us. Where there's doubt, pray. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Scriptures tell us that. When we become a believer in Christ Jesus, what do? We pray. How do we pray? We confess it. I am a sinner. Pray. That's communicating prayer. David prayed. Psalms are beautiful written psalms of prayer to our Father in heaven. The power is in prayer. I love that particular verse. And make note of this, because this is a verse we as believers in Christ Jesus need to practice, memorize it, and share it. And it's 2 Chronicles 7, and it's verse 14. Listen to what it says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal, and I will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble your heart and pray. That's it. And God says, seek his face. Seeking his face through prayer is the way. We call on him. We announce who he is, our Father, the creator, maker of heaven and earth. And we seek his face and we turn from our wicked ways. We repent, ask for forgiveness of anything that may not have lined up with his character in thought, words, and deed. Purify my heart. Purify my soul. Reverence who he is. When we come boldly to the throne of grace, making our petitions known. Now that's point one. Nothing hard to understand, but it's a need. When we are questioning whose we are in Christ Jesus, take it to the Lord in prayer. Now this brings me to my second point. The second point is we study to show thyself approved unto God. That's the word. We study to show thyself approved unto God. When we are questioning our salvation, point one was take it to the Lord in prayer. That is hard for some believers. I don't know how to pray is questions that we may tell ourselves. I'm not going to pray. I don't feel comfortable praying. Well, when you became a believer in Christ Jesus, you prayed. So now we have to practice praying to our Father. And what better way to get on our knees and make our petitions known? Not when things are going bad, not only when things are hurting, not only when those times have come across our life, but pray always without ceasing. For the scriptures tell us that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. So when we come with sincerity of heart and we pray prayers to our Father, then they avail much. They pack power. He moves. So always to remember to pray without ceasing. How can I pray every day? How can I pray all day? Is a question that you may have. Well, it's simple to do when it becomes a lifestyle. And that is the practice that 2 Chronicles teach us. 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14, practice that thing and make it a lifestyle. You may be gifted in praying for others. You may have that desire or that heart. That's a blessing. So now, if I have something that comes easy for me to pray, then why not pray for others? Especially those who doubt, who may doubt their salvation. Share that. Pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. And comfort them in prayer. So point two is we now need to study to show thyself approved unto God. So what does that mean? What does that mean as a brother and sister in Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Just as I said, we have to practice prayer so that it becomes a lifestyle, so does our study in Scripture. This broadcast mission is to expose the Word, expound the Word of God, and extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have an ear to hear. That's the mission of this ministry. So we are to not only practice our prayer, but we have to study to show thyself approved unto God. And we practice good habits. We practice so many things in life, but one thing we struggle with as believers is saturating ourselves in the Word of God, digging into the Scripture, verse by verse, precept upon precept, and looking at how the pages of the Bible actually come to life. They breathe on you. They grow you in grace. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you will reveal the sweetness of His Word, rich nuggets, in order for you to live by, in order for you to pray with or for or by, in order for you to share with others who may not know Him in the pardoning of their sin. Is a live, breathing word. And for you to enrich yourself, empower yourself with the very Word of God is powerful. And so when you come hungry and thirsty, ready to receive the benefits that God has for you and me, then He honors our obedience. And when we are obedient, that is better. And so practicing good habits, as we are doing today, listening to the Word of God, we practice good habits which brings dynamic power through us. Now, how does that happen? Well, we know that the Word of God breathes on us, and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, He reveals the richness of God's Word. It convicts us. It purifies us. It guides us. It leads us. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And we aren't to lean to our own understanding, but we are to trust the Word of God. And we are to believe it, live it, study to show thyself approved. No power, no prayer. Much power, much prayer. We've heard that. We know that. We live that. Let's think about this. If I am to not doubt my salvation, if I am to pray without ceasing, and if I am to study to show myself approved unto God, then why do I still have these doubts? Why does my mind go there? Then you need to go back to first base. Get on your knees again, making your petitions known. This is not hard to do, but we go back, we get on our knees, we pray, and we believe by faith, and we ask until you have a peace about that. We pray until you have a peace, until God shows you in Scripture how you need to have an assurance that your salvation is rock solid. And if you continue to question, rededicate your life to Christ. And this time, when you do it, don't doubt. When you do it, have a conviction of heart with all sincerity, humbleness, because this is the saving grace that says, I am a Christ follower, that says, I will be in heaven. I do not have to doubt. I do not have to live in fear. I don't have to wonder, because Scripture teaches, when we study to show thyself approved unto God, Scriptures teach the beautiful principles of blessed assurance. We can be assured that His Word is true. Romans 10, 13. Write this down. Romans 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. I read earlier, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of words, so that no one may boast about it. Oh, I did this. We did this. No, God did this for me. He allowed Jesus to die on that cross. Okay, so let's look at when we study to show thyself approved. Why are we studying to show thyself approved unto God? What is He trying to show me, and what is He trying to do to move me from chronic doubter to comfort deliverer? Now, I know I'm saved, but for some of us, we may doubt. But what is He trying to show me? What is He doing with us as His children? He came and lived inside of you and me, talking about my brothers and sisters in Christ. But for those who are still drinking milk and want to move to eating the meat of the Word, is when we come to working out our soul salvation so that we can take on the character of God, that we would allow the fruit of the Spirit to be worked through us. They're in us because Jesus lives in us by way of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit must come forth. And that will squash any doubt that may be lingering in the mind. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, remember, these are some fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to work out of us, through us. A lot of us, brothers and sisters, struggle with love, struggle with joy, struggle with self-control. And that's why it's so important that we practice what we believe. And remember that the flesh and the Holy Spirit are raging war between one another. The flesh wants what it craves, and the Holy Spirit wants what we need. And that is for the fruit of the Spirit to be worked through us. This is the character of God: love, joy, peace, self-control, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, and being kind. This is the image of God that we have been created in. We don't have to doubt about our salvation or question our salvation. We just have to work, meaning practice studying the scriptures to show thyself approved unto God. Always remember, the flesh is going to want to do what it wants to do, and we have to deny our flesh daily. How do we deny our flesh daily? Well, those chronic doubts are fleshly. But our comfort deliverer is salvation, Jesus, the blessed assurance of the word, studying daily, digging in the scriptures, searching the scriptures, allowing the scriptures to breathe on you, allowing the fruit to come forth through you. The Holy Spirit is to be obeyed. We are not to grieve the Spirit. We are to obey the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives on the throne of our heart. Prior to salvation, we lived according to the will of the flesh. We did that, brothers and sisters. We cursed. We had sex outside of marriage. We lied. We cheated. We stole. We gossiped. We broke every one of the Ten Commandments and some. And that is what the flesh wants us to live by, breaking the law. But we deny the flesh. We don't allow the flesh to tell us that we're not saved. We don't allow the flesh to tell us that it's okay to curse. Remember the garden experience with Adam and Eve, and how Eve and Adam were fooled by the serpent. He is roaring and moving through, seeking who he can steal and kill and destroy. He's looking for that sheep that wanders astray so that he can have his way with that sheep, to distract him, to deceive him and move from God the Father. But God, our chief shepherd, he goes after that one and he'll leave the 99. He will go after that prodigal and bring him back to himself. So when we doubt, when we question, God is the glue that keeps us under his wing. Psalms 91 talks about he is the refuge. He hides us under the shadow of his wing. Psalms 23 said he is the shepherd. He protects us. He provides for us. Those are promises. But when we study the scriptures, to show thyself approved unto God, then the fruit of the Spirit will come forth. You will find yourself loving more, loving thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you'll find yourself loving your neighbor, that questionable neighbor that used to get up under your skin, that you would either avoid speaking to. You will find yourself saying good morning, hello neighbor, or that person on the job that just irritates. You will find yourself serving that individual with a servant's heart. And when we were short patient, maybe standing in line, waiting for something at the bank, you will find yourself with more patience and more self-control without blurting out. This is the fruit, finding yourself faithful, being a man or a woman of your word, and gentle to those who may be rough or abrupt. This is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. So, point one, we take everything to God in prayer. Point two, we study to show thyself approved unto God. For he reveals, the Holy Spirit now, reveals to us what we need to know through the scriptures. He teaches us. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. He leads us and he guides us. He tells us, don't go left, but go right. Or he may tell you to go left and take you around, and we may think we should go right. We follow the Holy Spirit's lead. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I want my sister, Shirley, to read this particular passage in the book of John. Shirley, if you could read that particular passage, let us know what chapter and verse that you're reading for those who are taking notes.
Okay. I'm reading from John 5, the 5th chapter, 24th verse. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life.
Amen. And again, it's a promise that we have eternal life. When we are saved, we have passed from death to life. That's a promise. We don't have to question. We don't have to see the nail scars in his hands. We don't have to do anything special other than believe by faith that we are saved by his amazing grace. Know without a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, the scripture says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, let's look at point three. Again, these are simple practices, things that we know, but we have to practice praying, practice studying the scriptures, spending time with the Lord. And three is now looking at the man or the woman in the mirror. And when we look at ourselves in the mirror, as we practice our prayer life, practice our studying and spending time, ask yourself the question, who do I see? If I see myself, then we need to go all the way back to prayer. Point one, we need to go all the way back. But if you see God in that mirror, and you see the fruit of the Spirit coming forth from you, then you see God. You see the characters of God coming through you, making manifest through you the fruit, love. Listen to what love says or is. Love is not based on emotion. Love is not based on emotion or feelings. It is a decision to be committed to the well-being of others without any conditions or circumstances. Now, this is love. Listen to what it says, as we know in this familiar scripture of 1 Corinthians 13, and you may have heard it as being the love chapter. And I'm going to read this in the NIV translation, chapter 13, and I'm going to start at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. That's love. John 15:9. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. This is one of the fruit, one of the characters of God. Listen to peace. Peace is a state of assurance, lack of fear, and sense of contentment. It is fellowship, harmony, and unity between individuals. Peace is freedom from worry, disturbance, and oppressive thought. Thoughts of doubt. Peace. Romans 14:19 puts it this way. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutually edification. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Romans 14:19. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. These are fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at self-control. Behaving well. Self-control is to retain one's emotions, actions, and desires, and to be in harmony with the will of God. Self-control is doing God's will, not living for one's self. Luke 22, verse 41 and 42. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And I talked about that at my first point when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And listen to what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. When they, his accusers, hurled their insults at him, Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he, Jesus, suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. God the Father, who judges justly. And lastly, faithfulness, but not the end. Faithfulness is a firm devotion to God, loyalty to friends, and dependability to carry out responsibility. Faith is the conviction that even now God is working and acting on one's behalf. Isaiah 11:5 says this, righteousness will be his, Jesus, belt and faithfulness, the sash around his waist. And Revelation 19:11a, and please write these scriptures down because you can go back and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the richness of these nuggets. Revelation 19:11a says, when seeing a vision of Jesus, John said, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. So dependable, loyal, and full of trust is faithfulness. This is God's character. And these fruit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is what the Holy Spirit is working in and through us that the world can see, according to 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. This world we live in these closing days of grace, are in such a disarray that it propels us to pray. It propels us to study, to show thyself approved, and it propels us to look at ourselves and know that we know, that we know, that we are God's children, that we are in the family of God, that he is, that we are his workmanship, that we can be used for his purpose, that the power of God works in and through us, that people will be healed, that people will come to know him in the pardoning of their sin. And I know we have come up on the hour that we are to close out this teaching on chronic doubter, but I cannot close this broadcast until you, my brothers and sisters who are listening to this broadcast, pray with me for those who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin. This is when we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is when we have been baptized to stand and say, I am a Christ follower. So if you would pray with me right now and pray for someone that you may know that has not given their life to Christ, that you see that they need a Savior, pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. And if you have any doubt concerning your salvation, pray right now that we stop, drop, and pray for someone who may not know him. So if you could, with me, touch and agree that we will lift up the lost in prayer right now and think of that individual that you know needing to be covered in prayer. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. For Lord, we pray for the lost, the sinner man, the one who has not confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart that you are the Messiah, that you are the Savior, that you are the Redeemer of their soul. Lord, we pray that they come to know you right now, that they extend their hands outstretched, surrendering it all to you, that they pray repentance and forgiveness of their sin, that you would wash them clean and pure, for it was your blood that died on the cross for our sin, that we would be made whole, born again, regenerated, that we would not doubt, that they would not doubt, that they would walk in newness of life. You said in your word, according to John 3:16, that whosoever believes in him, and we pray that they believe in you right now, that they will have eternal life. For you gave your only begotten Son that we will not perish. Lord, I pray for the sinner man or sinner woman that may be listening to this broadcast at this very hour, that it was not by chance that they come to know you in the pardoning of their sin, that they surrender it all and cast it at the foot of the cross, that they would get up off their knees or raise their heads, singing and praising you, hallelujah, that they would sing and dance for joy because of their newness of life, that they would get into, or you lead them to, a Bible-believing church, that they would be baptized and announce to the world that they have been born again, that they would know that they know that they know whose they are in you, and that they would share with others your redemption on the cross, that you yet live, that you sit on the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for us as we make our petitions known to you. We pray this prayer of salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your faithfulness to this broadcast. And I pray that if you are in doubt, if you are in question of your salvation, that you go back to the foot of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you pray without ceasing, boldly, with all humility and humbleness, that you would study to show thyself approved unto God, and that you would look at yourself in the mirror and see the character of God coming through you that we call the fruit of the Spirit, His image, for it's in there we believe that it will come forth, that we will allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth this fruit. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your faithfulness through this broadcast. And always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth away. But always know that the Word of God will live in you and it will remain forever and ever. Thank you again, and God bless.
Napa Know How.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.